Please, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 19. Luke, chapter number 19, and I am thrilled tonight. I'll tell you why. I'm thrilled to see visitors here tonight. There's a reason I say that. This morning, I stood here to preach. In all candor, all honesty, it was not a pretty sight, okay? I'm sure glad tonight we got some good-looking visitors here to spruce this thing up. Thank you for coming. Thank you so much. I hope to see you again, but I hope to see some friends here these next few nights. You say it won't do any good. Ha, leave that up to God. It will do good. That's right. In due season, we'll reap if we don't faint. What does that verse say? You invite somebody tomorrow, they say, I'm not coming, you quit. No. You keep at it. You keep at it. You keep inviting, blackmailing, kidnapping. Whatever you have to do, do it, my friend, really. But don't quit. Don't quit. Make the effort. It'll make the difference in someone's life between singing in heaven and screaming in hell. We cannot quit. There's no place to quit because Christ never quit till the last red drop of blood dripped in the dirt and the filth and the spittle. That was for you, sir. Hear me. You have no monopoly on Calvary. He died for that man. You work by tomorrow. Die for that neighbor, 90 foot from your front door. Let's make a real assault on the gates of hell this week, and let's see some of our friends and neighbors come and find Christ. Look in your Bible tonight. Luke chapter number 19, verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he came down, and made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Stop. That crowd's not dead. No. What happened? The greatest thing in the world, a man gets saved. There's some people there griping, belly aching, criticizing. Well, they understand something. Zacchaeus is trying to find out how to get saved. He's so desperate, he climbs up in a tree looking to get saved. Now, wait. You see, nobody would tell him. Christians would criticize him. They'd condemn him, but they would not share the gospel. I'll tell you again, that crowd is not dead today. The Church of Jesus Christ is full of critics. The question is, where are the soul winners? That's the big question. Look in your Bible again, please. Luke 19, verse number 8. And says, Zacchaeus stood unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything from any man but false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house. Stop. Jesus made a statement that we have to realize. There's a time and a place of salvation. You don't just learn about it. You just don't mentally believe it. There comes a time when you act upon it. The day of salvation. August the 12th, 1958. In bed at church camp. I hope that's water. All right, good. In bed at church camp, I heard somebody preach, knew I was a sinner. If I'd on my back in bed, I got saved. A time and a place salvation. Can you point to a time when you received Christ? You'd be the greatest theologian on this side of hell and wind up in hell unless you make that great decision to invite Christ into your heart to be your Savior. Now, look in your Bible carefully. Here's my text, Luke 19:10. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. When God's Son left heaven and arrived on planet Earth, he came primarily for two reasons. Number one, first of all, to die on the cross for our sin. Your Bible says, Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Understand Calvary. When Christ was on that cross dying, it was not for his sin. He had none. I don't know who you are, what you've done, what you have not done, but Christ loved you so much on that cross, he bore your shame. So much on that cross. Hear it. He bore your hell so you wouldn't have to go there. The first reason Christ came was so folks might be saved. Reason number two, my text. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ come to earth. Reason number two, to what? To be a soul winner and to point people and help people go to heaven. Now, wait a minute. You say, Brother Mark, I'm following Christ. He's my example. When's the last time you showed some sinner how to stay out of hell and get to heaven? Don't tell me you're following Christ if you're not witnessing and making an attempt to take somebody with you into heaven. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Maybe if I find out how Christ won people, it might help me win folks to Christ. Number one tonight, very simple, the seeking Savior. When Jesus Christ walked on the earth, first of all, he sought people persistently. Almost every time in the Bible you find Christ, he's trying to point someone to God. Goes to the well to get a drink, meets a woman. What does he do? Points her to God. Walking down the road, a beggar cries out. What does he do? Goes over and points him to God. When Christ walked on the earth, my friend, time and time again, you find him trying to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the question. When's the last time you made an attempt to keep somebody out of hell and get them into heaven by showing them how to be saved? Christ was persistent in this witnessing. Now, that does two things. Number one, being persistent in inviting can easily, and I mean this is a small auditorium, being persistent in inviting can easily fill every seat in this auditorium. Not an evangelist scheme, it's a Bible plan. In Luke's gospel, a man made a supper that speaks of the gospel. Why? It satisfies the hunger inside of a man's soul. The gospel. He makes a supper, sends his servants out to invite. They go out and invite and invite and invite. They come back, they said, Lord, get with the old college try. Nobody wants to come. What did Jesus say? Well, guys, you make, you gave it a try. That's all you can do. What do you say? Go again. What? Yeah, go again. They went out, they come, they're excited, man. They're thrilled. Lord, guess what? We got a few. Was Christ satisfied? Hear what he said. Bible, sir, go again that my house may be filled. That's God's plan to fill every seat in this auditorium. What? You invite somebody tomorrow. My friend, you invite them again, invite them again. The word I'm going to use, and if you're married, you know this word, gentlemen. The word is nag. Yeah, you know that word. I can tell you do. Your wife has a suggestion. You don't follow it. She asks it again and again and again. And pretty soon you think it's my idea. Yeah. So you do. Why? My friend, that works in soul winning. Don't quit. Keep inviting. Keep praying. And just trust God to do something mighty and powerful in that person's life. Being persistent will get a crowd. A few years ago, I went to Franklin, Ohio, the Missionary Baptist Temple, to hold a revival. I arrived in town Monday, started the revival Monday through Sunday. And on Tuesday, Pastor Bates and I went calling a new subdivision about five blocks down the street. We went up, Brother Bates knocked on the first door. Lady opened the door, raised both hands and said, please, don't say a word. I know who you are. I know who you're from. I said, you do? Yep. You all are from the Missionary Baptist Temple up there on the hill. You're having a revival. You want us to come. Brother Bates said, how do you know that? She said, sir, how do I know that? Since last Thursday night, there have been 19 people by here knocking on our door, inviting us to revival. She said, now, sir, we don't go to church. My husband and I got talking at breakfast. Something is going on up there. On Thursday night, we're going to come and find out they came. They found out. That night, both of them walked down the aisle and received Christ as their Savior. Now, wait, the best is yet to come. Missionary Baptist Temple ran about 400 people. Ready? Closing Sunday morning, 912 people there. I preached, gave the invitation. 63 people walked down the aisle and got saved. He said, Brother Mark, boy, I wish that would happen. Stop, stop, stop. We're not Disney World wishing up on a star. My friend, God has a plan to do that in this church. What's the plan? You invite somebody. Make the phone call. Don't give up. Don't surrender. And trust God, your friend might come. Your neighbor might come. That relative might come. You might have the greatest thrill any Christian ever has, seeing someone you know and love come and find Jesus Christ. They sought people. How? They sought people persistently. Number two, I like this. It's a way to get a crowd. It's a way to get converts. When I went to seminary, I shocked you, didn't I, huh? You didn't think I went to seminary, did you? I'm going to tell you something, buddy. I are well educated. I are. When I went to seminary, I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to seminary. First Sunday morning, I walked in a great Highland Park Baptist church, and there sat about 5,000 people. The pastor, Dr. Lee Robertson, preached, gave the invitation. That Sunday morning, I saw 20 people walk down the aisle professing their faith in Christ. I never saw that before. I went back Sunday night. Ready? 5,000 seats entirely filled. I preached Sunday night, the pastor Robertson preached Sunday night, give the invitation. 12 people walked down y'all and got saved. Wednesday I went to prayer meeting. I've been to prayer meetings all over America at that time. Couldn't believe it. Ever see this filled? 5,000 people on Wednesday night prayer meeting. Lee Robertson preached, gave the invitation. That night, 10 adults walked down the aisle and got saved. Now, on Thursday, the blessings were over because school started. You know what that means. Yeah, your kids do. Anyway, here I am. Thursday night, I'm sitting home. I knock on the door. I open the door. A man and his wife. The man said, "How do you do, sir? We know you're new in the neighborhood. We live right down here. We attend the Highland Park Baptist Church. Want to invite you to come." I come on in. They came in. They sat down. Pretty soon, the guy said, "Son, let me ask you a question. If you were to die, do you know you'd go to heaven?" I said, "Yes, I do. Let me tell you why, sir. Because at 16 years old, as a teenager, I invited Jesus Christ into my heart to be my Savior." Man, we're sitting there. Great time of fellowship. These are friendly people, warm people. As we're talking, I went in the living room, opened the door. There's a man and his wife. The man said, "How do you do, sir?" He said, "We are from the Highland Park Baptist Church. Last Sunday, you were kind enough to come and see us. Tonight," he said, "I thought we'd be kind enough to return the visit." Now, what are you going to say? Come on in. They came in. They sat down. "Buddy, this guy's on a mission. Here we go." He said, "Sir, if I was to take this gun out of my pocket and shoot you in the head and kill you, do you know you'd go to heaven?" That's the direct approach. Amen. I said, "Yes, I do. I know I'm due. Let me tell you why, sir. I've accepted Christ as my Savior." He said, "That's the right answer." We're sitting there. Now there are four of them. Man, I'll tell you, these people are excited. They're wonderful people. As we're talking, I went in the living room, parted the curtains, and peeked out. On the front porch, there are two men. One man had a great big family Bible under his arm. Now, I went over, got a firm grip on the doorknob. I flung it open before they could say it. Well, I said, "I know who you are." They go, "You do?" I said, "Yeah, I do. You're from the Highland Park Baptist Church, ain't you?" He said, "How do you know that?" I said, "How do I know that? Come on in. We're having a reunion in here." So they came in. They sat down, asked the same question, got the same answer. Now, hear me. 3 years and seven, every year, that church baptized 2,000 people on profession of faith. Why? There's a reason right there. They got the gospel out of the church, took it to the streets, took it on the job. And that's what Jesus Christ did. And that's what Christ expects you to do if you're a born-again believer. First of all, he sought people persistently. Number two, here's an exciting thing. He found people that were prepared. I'm tired of hearing it. "Brother Mark, nobody wants to get saved." You know why? Because you don't try to get folks saved. What did Jesus Christ say? "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers," huh? "The laborers are few," not the officers, not the members, "the laborers are few." Think of your Bible. Zacchaeus, right here. He had a political office, tax collector, one of your favorite people, y'all. What happened? Trying to find out how to get saved. More Bible examples, if I may. Let's go to Matthew, another tax collector. Jesus walks down the street, says two words, "Follow me." No excuse, no argument. Waiting for someone to invite him, he arose and what? Followed Christ. In the Bible, a guy named Philip goes way out in the desert and he finds a chariot out there. In that chariot is a guy that's a treasurer of Ethiopia. Now, what's that guy doing in the desert? I have an answer that you may not have read in your Bible, okay? The guy probably was driving a Ford and it broke down out in the desert. Somebody say amen to that. That's good preaching, Brother Mark. Anyway, here's a guy in the desert, okay? What happens? Philip goes up, opens the Bible, and about 3 minutes, the guy got saved. Waiting for somebody to invite him. Yeah. Andrew goes to Peter. What happens? Peter follows Andrew and gets saved. Don't tell me nobody wants to get saved. I have yet to meet the first person that said, "I believe in hell. I plan to go there." No one's ever told me that. I can prove it. You got saved one day. Why? You had no intention of going to hell. Yet, my friend, you'll make excuses to send a coworker, a neighbor, a relative into the flames rather than risk rejection and showing them and telling them how to receive Christ. I was preaching in Janesville, Wisconsin, and the pastor said there's a call we ought to make, and this guy is unusual. So he got in the car. At the edge of town, there's a great big building, no sign on front. We get out, walk up, open the door, step inside, a buzzer rang. I looked around. I realized we're in a huge wholesale company there. The side door opened. I walked a short, heavy-set fella. His name was Dick. Now, Dick was a full-blooded Italian, happy-go-lucky, never met a stranger. He come up, pastor introduced me, we talked a while, and Dick said, have a seat. We sat down, we talked a while, and I said, Dick, could I ask you a question? Well, I said, go right ahead. I said, Dick, if you were to die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? He stood up, slid the chair back, leaned across the table, literally laughed out loud right in my face and said, ha ha, haven't talked to the Rev, have you, huh? He said, buddy, I'm a straight shooter. I'll give it to you straight, mister. I was born in the Roman Catholic Church. I graduated from the parochial school. He said, the last 9 years at 4 a.m, while you're wallowing in bed, I've been down at the Catholic Church to pray for an hour. I said, well, Dick, let me ask you one question. If you were to die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? He said, I thought about that. I said, can I show you not the Baptist church way, but the Bible way? He said, I really want to see that. I opened my Bible. I showed Dick four things. Number one, we're all sinners, especially all salesmen. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Mark. That's right. Number two, I pointed out to him, because he was a sinner, God said, not Joe Mark, he's heading for hell. Number three, I explained to him, I said, Dick, when Christ hung on Calvary, the Bible says he, not it, he, the person, he, Jesus Christ, bore our sin in his body on the tree. I said, when Christ died, because he was sinless, he could die for your sin and my sin and the sin of the entire universe. Now, does that mean you go to heaven? No. Then one more thing. Here is Bible, okay? Whosoever, that means you, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you become a Christian, Dick? Being baptized? No. Joining a church? No. Turning over a new leaf? No. One reason. You acknowledge you're a sinner, realize you cannot work, earn, or buy your way to heaven. By an act of faith, invite Christ into your heart. I said, Dick, right here, right now, you want to pray and accept Christ. He didn't answer. He stood up, slid the chair back, reached in his right front pocket. He pulled out a wad of bills about that size, like your pastor carries, and he started going through that big wad of bills. The smallest bill was a $20 bill. Gave it to the preacher. He said, you guys go down the street, get coffee and donuts, and come back. I got work to do. He walked in the office. We walked 2 blocks down the street. You're going to love this. I'm going to use two words that will revive your heart and stir your soul. 2 blocks down the street, friend, hear the words, Krispy Kreme. Somebody say amen. That's right. Amen. Ready? Yeah, it's an awful thing to be turned loose in Krispy Kreme with a $20 bill. I'll tell you that right now. Okay. We got plenty. We got plenty. We walked back, opened the door, stepped inside. The buzzer rang. Dick's office door opened. He walked out and said, hey. I said, yeah, Dick. He said, guess what happened to me? I said, tell me. He said, it was hard for me, but I did the right thing. When my office got on my knees, I told Christ the last 43 years I had religion, but never been saved the Bible way. He said, preacher, in my office, I just received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I said, Dick, did you mean that? He said, I said, are you sure? He said, preacher, I mean that with all my heart. Come here, come here. Look at this. He that believeth on him will not be ashamed. The Bible says this, Dick, if you meant that, you won't be ashamed, and you'll tell somebody else that. Now, there are two ways you could do that. Number one, put an ad in the paper and say, I got saved, accepted Christ. Number two, you come to church tonight, they'll sing some songs, I preach, close the service, you can walk down the aisle, pastor will tell them, you got saved today. I said, how about it? He said, what time's it start? 7 o'clock. See you tonight. Ready? At 6:30, we pulled in the church parking lot. Oh, watch it. A brand new, shiny Lincoln Continental. Friend, I knew it had to be a visitor. It had to be a visitor. No Baptist could afford a Continental. That's all there is to it. Amen. Anyway, the door opened. I got Dick. And, hey, let's get going. This is good stuff, man. We got inside, got talking. I knew Dick was saved for two reasons. Number one, first of all, how do I get my wife to come to Christ? How do I get my two teenage boys saved? That's a good sign he got saved. He wanted to get somebody else saved. Yeah, Andrew got Stephen saved. Why, he got concerned when he got saved. Now, I'm going to shock you, but that's what I'm here for, okay? I was certain that Dick would leave the Catholic Church and become a Baptist. How could you know that? Very simple. Ready? 6:59. The church starts at 7. The total attendance was 3. The preacher, Dick, and myself. Now watch it. Dick goes and sits down in the very last row, all the way against the wall. Buddy, if that isn't Baptist territory, that's all there is to it. And there he sat. Back row is Baptist country. That's right. And there he sat. Now, people started coming in. The church had one aisle down the middle, chairs all the way to the aisle. There was no outward aisle, that one center aisle. On the second song that night, the back door opened. In walked a very large lady. She slipped in and sat down on the two chairs beside Dick. Now, I preached that night. I finished preaching. I said, okay, we're going to sing a song. You want to get saved? You come and tell the preacher. You're a Christian. Want to come and pray for yourself? Pray for someone. Get out of there and come on. Let's stand and sing. I saw Dick. He popped up, buttoned his coat, turned around. He couldn't squeeze by on the right. I saw him. I don't know what word to use. He climbed over a chair, walked to the aisle, come down the aisle, big smile, and took charge of the service. He got down front and raised both hands, didn't say a word, said, that guy told me to do this. Well, not exactly, but thank God he did it. He said, this morning, that guy come to my office. He said he showed me the Bible. Yeah, I realized I was not going to heaven. I went in my back room, got on my knees, and accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm going to heaven. How about you? Amen. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Yeah. And today that guy is serving God in a wonderful, wonderful way. My friend, that is the power of the gospel that can change your life. Hear me. You get saved, that will change your destiny from hell into heaven when you come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And my friend, Christ tonight's looking for you. Maybe nobody else cares. Maybe your family doesn't care. You say, Mom and Dad don't care. Hey, Christ cares. He loves you so much, he hung on a cross, covered with your sin and your shame. And my friend, how can you reject him? How can you trample on him? How can you say, I don't want you? Well, when they pull the nails out of Christ, he has nothing left to give. He gave his body, gave his blood, gave his soul, gave his heart. And my friend, you're not waiting on Christ. He's waiting on you tonight if you want to get saved. I'd say tonight this crowd, probably 95% of us, one time in our life, accepted Christ. We know we're going to heaven, not because of the Baptist church, not because we're moral. We know we're going to heaven. Why? Because we accepted Christ as our Savior. Number one, the seeking Savior. Number two, and I'm through, the scared saints. Does that describe you? You're afraid to witness. You're afraid what somebody might say. You're afraid they might think you're some kind of radical. That soul you're talking to, you should talk to, is more important than you being embarrassed. That soul is worth the effort. That person may be looking and searching, like right here, this guy right here, trying to find out, how do I go to heaven? Don't be embarrassed. Give them the gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation. Let me illustrate it for you. 1960, Indianapolis 500 race was two-thirds of the way over. One section of temporary bleachers collapsed and fell halfway to the ground. On the back row was a man, his wife, and their six-year-old son, daughter, to me. When the bleachers gave way, the man and his wife were thrown off backward. The child was caught in the bleachers as they folded up like an accordion. When the man and husband and wife hit the ground, they were temporarily unconscious. In a daze, they got up and wandered around. Pretty soon, their minds started to clear. They started looking. They found each other. They looked everywhere, everywhere. They could not find their daughter. Pretty soon, the husband went to the end of the bleachers, looked in. As he looked in, he saw their daughter. Her leg was caught between the walkway and the seat. He looked in. He realized her leg was broken in three places. In one place, a bone sticking out. The little girl was crying and screaming and hollering. Quickly, the father went to some guys and said, hey, guys, come on, help me, my daughter's trapped. Please hurry, help me, my daughter's trapped. The reporter said he couldn't believe it. Big, burly, macho men pulled away, sat there, sipped their beer, watched the races. Not one person would help. When I read that, I thought, oh, God, oh, God. That's a lot like the average Baptist church. Get the average church member to go out, knock on a door, invite, give out a tract, invite somebody to church, get their testimony. The average church member, whether it's at home, prop their feet up, watch television, and say, yes, sir, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That is not true. You're part, my friend, of the cult of the comfortable. I wouldn't be comfortable telling to someone about salvation. Since when is your Christianity based on comfort? When? Not somebody else's comfort. You'll let them burn. But you'll be a comforter. And someday at the white throne judgment, you watch them cast in a lake of fire and realize you never witnessed. You never gave them the opportunity that someone gave you. My friend, it's time to get out there and do something for Jesus Christ. It's time to stop being a spectator. Get out of the bleachers. Take a track. Give your testimony. Share the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Why? It's the power of God, not my power, God's power. We can change a destiny and change a life and change somebody forever by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ came to seek. When's the last time you did some seeking? Is your Christian EL setting? Thank God one day somebody cared about me. Somebody cared about you. Here's the plan. A gospel came. You became. And you, sir, put a period right there. The Bible didn't. Thessalonians chapter 1, there's a third statement. And from you sounded out. Thank God for that. They heard the gospel, yes. They got saved, but the gospel flowed through their life, through their testimony. And touch somebody. Who's going to be in heaven because of you? Bow your head for prayer. Two questions. Number one, the most important question you'll ever hear. If you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? You thought about that question. A classmate died. You went to the funeral. Driving down the road, you came on a horrible car wreck. A family member died. A neighbor died. And all of a sudden that hit you. Someday I'm going to die. What's going to happen? Thank God you can know what's going to happen if you'll accept Christ as your Savior. What does it mean, preacher? It means acknowledging you're a sinner, realizing because of your sin, you're heading straight for the gates of hell. But thank God it doesn't end there, sir. The Bible says when Christ hung on Calvary, who his own self, that means alone, because he was sinless, he could bear your sin, who his own self bore our sin in his body on the tree. Christ was your substitute. He died for your sin. That means everybody goes to heaven. No! Christ will not force you into heaven. Point number four. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You realize you're a sinner, realize between you and hell is one heartbeat. And my friend, you pray. Acknowledge to God you're a sinner. Acknowledge to him you can't save yourself. But say, thank God Jesus died in my place. And right here, right now, I accept him. That's Bible salvation, not baptism, church membership, nothing except accepting him. Our heads are bowed tonight, our eyes are closed. Who will say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Or I know I'm not a Christian, but I'm no fool. I don't intend to burn forever in the flames of the damned. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I want you to pray for me. It would be my privilege. I will not point you out. I will not try and drag you down an aisle. You say, preacher, I'm not sure. Pray for me right now. Will you just quickly and quietly lift that hand up toward heaven? Let me pray for you. Preacher, I am not sure, but pray for me. Can I see your hand right now? I see it. God bless you. Anybody else? I'm not sure. Include me in that prayer. Who else? Get honest. Let me pray for you. Anybody else? 10 seconds. I'm going to change it. You want to go to hell, unsaved, unprepared, unconcerned? You may. Anybody else? Quickly, quickly, quickly. Thank you so much. Now, question number two, I'm talking to Christians. As I preach tonight, God could have spoke to your heart in a number of ways. God could have tapped you on the shoulder and said, buddy, it's time to get out of the bleachers and get in the battlefield. As I preach tonight, maybe God tapped you on the shoulder and brought someone right to your mind, a coworker, a relative, a wonderful neighbor, a hunting buddy, a fishing pal. God said, that's the one, go get him. You say, I couldn't do that. Wait. Your Bible says I can do all things through Jesus Christ. Hear me carefully, hear me. Instead of sitting there, seeing that people into hell, saying, I can't do it, you ought to be right here at this altar saying, God, give me the power, give me the boldness to go to my friend and share with him the greatest thing he'll ever hear, that Jesus Christ died. With our heads bowed tonight, our eyes are closed, who will say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but God spoke to my heart tonight about a friend, about this great thing of witnessing I haven't been doing. I know I should do it. It's not going to be easy, but I know I should. Preacher, God spoke to my heart as a Christian tonight. It's not going to be easy, but I want you to pray for me. I'll have boldness, I'll have power, and I'll obey God. If God spoke to your heart, believer, I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand right now. Up and right back down, all over the auditorium. Good. Still going up. Good. Still going up. Still going up. Another one. God bless. In the back row. God bless. Anybody else before I pray? Thank you, young lady. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Father, thank you tonight.